This is 5 packages Charles Xavier did not order, and one he did. An X-Men First Class fanfic, written by 12 Gatsu no Hime, read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R, though only for a moment, really. Pairings include Eric Charles and Raven Hank. Author's note. Crack! Posted here at the behest of Mako Kitten, since this was originally an Anon piece over at First Class Kink. I don't even know where I got this idea, but hey, don't judge me, you guys. I still can't believe I wrote this in the span of one afternoon. I had 2 work in progresses, and this is what happened. I feel like I need to apologize to the universe. Big grin. They could all be blamed, Charles thought to himself sometimes, on that damned catalog. It arrived with the day's mail addressed to one Anon Y. Mouse, which was such an obvious pseudonym, his immediate reaction was to wonder which of the students had sent for it. After deciding that there were some things he was better off not knowing, he hastily did a mental sweep of the house to make sure there was no one heading his way, and slowly began to flip through the pages. 10 extremely enlightening minutes later, he was walking down the hallway with the longest strides he could manage, trying very, very hard to keep his thoughts in his own head. The catalog itself lay face down on the coffee table, like a trap waiting to be sprung by whoever walked by and wondered what had come in the mail. Naturally, everyone in the house wanted to look through it, but no one wanted to admit to even knowing what it was. The coffee table by the television became a sort of landmine, and anyone walking into the living room alone seemed to have an increasingly unlikely reason to be in there, especially at later hours of the night. Hank seriously tried telling Eric at one point he was looking for his glasses while he was wearing them. The most memorable incident was when Raven and Sean both tried to come in through different doors, walking backwards to make sure they weren't followed, at 3 in the morning. Upon running smack into each other, Raven's reflexes took over and she attempted to cover his mouth with her hands, only to get thrown back about 10 feet by his startled shout. They both immediately scurried out of the room like startled cats, broadcasting their panic loudly enough to let Charles know exactly what was going on, even if he hadn't already seen the whole thing. Upon waking the next morning, Charles decided the best thing to do would be to throw the damn thing out, and he did so. After flicking through the last few pages, just for curiosity's sake, of course. But only after realizing that the order form had already been removed from the center of the booklet. That's when it started. 5. The first package, small and rectangular, was addressed to the same Mr. Mouse that the catalog had been sent to. The return address simply read, Distribution Company, and a location somewhere in California. At the very least, this company had the dignity to be discreet. Charles was very, very afraid to open the box, and even more afraid to ask who it was meant for, so he just left it on the coffee table in the space where the catalog once was. He tried very hard not to pay attention to who was going in and out of the living room and what sort of emotions they might have in reaction to the box, but it was like trying to not think about white elephants, and he found himself more keenly tuned to that room for most of that day, even when he was outside running with Hank, perhaps a little farther away from the house than usual. In the end, it was when he came back from the run and passed by one of the living room doors that he found out, and he didn't even need telepathy to do so. Oh, finally! That was Alex's voice, sounding relieved and amused all at once. Here, this is yours. The sound of something being thrown, then caught. from everyone else on the floor. What's this for? Sean now. Oh, dear God, what was in that box? For the sake of the rest of us getting enough sleep. Alex again, but there wasn't any real bite to his words. Then there was the sound of hair being ruffled, punctuation to soften the statement, followed by the crackling of tape and tearing cardboard, right as Alex walked out into the hallway. Hank took the stairs to their left with a very rushed step, obviously not wanting to see what was on the other side of the now open door. Charles, his curiosity getting the better of him, passed by in time to see Sean remove a black, buckled strap with a red ball in the middle, slap a hand over his forehead, and turn very, very pink. It was after he threw the box down and ran out of the room, still holding the ball gag, presumably after Alex, that Charles saw what else had been in the box. Another catalog, with another order form. The second order form was gone much more quickly than the first, and no one would own up to having used it. This time, though, the catalog hadn't been thrown away, but sat on the coffee table for days afterward, as though it were being perused in preparation for the next one to show up. Charles may or may not have caught Eric flicking through the section labeled Stainless Steel one night while he was bringing in cups of tea for them both. He also may or may not have blushed intensely and immediately left the room, both cups of tea still in hand. More than anything, though, the catalog's presence in the school had flipped some sort of tension switch into the permanent on position. It had nearly gotten destroyed one morning when Hank was interrupted by Mora and almost choked on his coffee, claiming a breeze from an open window had blown it open to the page full of cock rings. It was almost destroyed a second time out of sheer frustration when Charles opened it late one night to find the order form gone again. 4. The second package was bigger than the first, addressed to Dr. Smith, and sat on the coffee table until very late that night, whereupon it was spirited away by a very shifty Hank McCoy. He was immediately cornered by Raven, who demanded to know what was in the box on the grounds of curiosity. Upon realizing she wasn't going to get out of his way unless he showed it to her, he relented. It turned out to be a weirdly curved thing, about the length of her finger, with what looked like a very swirly handle on one end. She raised an eyebrow at him, and opened her mouth in preparation to ask him where exactly that was supposed to go. She didn't get enough time before he muttered something about studies and prostate cancer prevention and please don't tell anyone, and pushed past her, running down the hallway at top speed. It took a long time for someone to make off with the third order form, though the duplicate catalog they were now in possession of was gone within a fortnight. Sean and Hank, who had returned the catalog from his own box to the coffee table, now had a bet going for who was going to get the next box. Eric kept curling rings and swirls of what were once paperclips around his hands, like he was getting ideas. Raven very nearly broke her desk chair, flailing about when Charles knocked on her door one evening, thus proving his theory about the location of the other catalog. Moira kept looking at them all with scrutinizing glances, like she was trying to read them without telepathy. Alex sat up a little straighter every time someone went to get the mail. Charles began wondering when these boxes would finally stop arriving. He hoped it would be after he had worked up the nerve to get an order form of his own. 3. Nobody even knew the third package had shown up until a hell yes and the sound of thundering footsteps up the stairs alerted them to it. Hank, after nearly being barreled over by Alex running past him, grudgingly gave Sean $10. When they both got down to the living room, Moira was standing by the coffee table, shaking her head. "It wasn't even a box this time. It was an envelope," she said, laughing to herself. "Bunch of playboys. Should have known." She sat down in one of the chairs and flipped on the TV, idly pushing the hastily thrown fourth catalog onto the table with her foot. "Charles swore he was going to be the one to get the order form this time, even if he had to play dirty and make the rest of the house think it wasn't there." By now, he knew exactly what he wanted, and he wanted to get it as quickly as possible before the mental images it gave him went out of control. These plans were set aside, however, when he crossed paths with Eric on his way to the living room, and was promptly asked to dinner. And, well, he didn't really have a good reason to say no, even if he'd wanted to. So, off to the restaurant they went. By the time he got home, with his arms wrapped around Eric's waist and his lips pressed tightly to his jawline, the catalog was the last thing on his mind. And by the next morning, the whole thing was gone, the coffee table looking rather empty without it. Charles couldn't bring himself to be too upset, sitting on the sofa in a borrowed pair of Eric's pajamas. 2. The fourth package was ridiculous. It was the size of 2 shoeboxes, but not nearly as heavy. It was lifted right out of the mail carrier's arms by Raven with a smile and a few words of gratitude before she walked back inside with a spring in her step. Hank snuck into her room later when she was out running with Charles and opened the top of the box, telling himself it was only fair. Folding back the cardboard, he removed the layers of tissue paper covering the contents to reveal a bright purple vibrator, a riding crop shaped like a rose vine, condoms that glowed in the dark, and a pair of velvet-covered handcuffs. By the time he recovered from shock enough to realize that Raven was standing behind him, it was far too late. It wasn't all bad, Eric thought to himself, having that catalog show up. After all, Alex had been in a considerably better mood lately, and they hadn't had to replace the light bulbs or mirrors in Sean's room in weeks. Raven had also been just a little more relaxed than usual, a little more willing to let things go. Hank, on the other hand, had spiraled into this nervous happiness, like he was thrilled with something but didn't want to have to explain why. He also had what looked like carpet burn on his wrists, which was cause enough for Eric not to ask. When he thought about it, though, Moira actually seemed downright annoyed and kept watching the living room like a hawk. He just shrugged. Maybe she didn't approve. He watched the pen floating on the desk in front of him, scribbling item numbers onto the white and gray lined paper, and decided this may have actually been one of the best things to happen since he got here. 1. The fifth package was the heaviest, but that hardly mattered, because Charles only got as far as the front hallway when it floated out of his arm and up the stairs. Somehow, he managed to wait until the sun had set to burst into Eric's room, flooding the man's mind with questions and ideas and want. Everyone was glad that the house's walls were well insulated after the fifth package arrived. Raven nevertheless decided she'd gotten bored of her room across from Charles, saying the one down the hall had a better view of the garden anyway. 0. The last package was the smallest, a plain envelope lined with bubble wrap, lighter than Alex's, but from the same address. Charles took the long, smooth strip of black fabric from inside and left the rest of it on the coffee table, just because. Much later that night, with the blindfold over his eyes, the wrought iron of the bed frame holding his wrists in place, and the feeling of heavy, polished, curved, glorious steel moving inside him, Charles watched himself through Eric's eyes, feeling the raw power and emotion and need burning in his mind. He had no idea who had ordered that first catalog, but he was thanking him or her in earnest every time another thrust of metal left him breathless. Moira McTaggart sat in the living room downstairs, and thanked God she was finally getting to look through the catalog she had ordered in the first place. The end.